spot the difference. Anyway, greetings, respected viewers. So here I am with my own well-worn copy of Spare by His Royal Highness Prince Harry, the Duke of Sussex, my well-thumbed copy. So I've read the book now, and I can give you a few thoughts on this choice tome. As I've said previously, you'll need a strong stomach to get through it. But I will say this is not tedious, but all right, he did have a ghostwriter. And then there's that lie in the end saying, and now I've said my thing in my own words. Well, no, you haven't, mate. That's the ghostwriter. No doubt there will be a few words or phrases from him. The vignette come from him. Presumably the ghostwriter pared it down. So this is printable. That's really tedious. We don't want too many banalities in there. One thing is it's got pace and the rather short sentences. They're just some sort of like snapshots, his observations, his reminiscences and so on. So it's partly autobiography. It's a whinge fest, sort of about 100,000 words of self-pity. Very little recognition of just how fortunate he was. So he takes us behind the scenes, his family, his reflections of what people are really like. His sense that him and his great aunt, Princess Margaret, as in the late Queen's younger sister, she and Prince Harry ought to be allies, Prince Harry reckons, because, of course, they're both in the position of being the younger sibling and therefore the one who was not going to inherit the crown. So he feels oh so sorry for himself. He was only second in the line, rather than like sort of 100 millionth like me, like Joe Common. So the sense of entitlement really comes across. That he was somehow done by to be born into a royal family, to get all these millions of taxpayers' money. And if he really thinks there needs to be a sithment for colonialism and slavery, well, you know, reparations start at home. What reparatory payments is he going to make, given that some of it is traceable back to the proceeds of slavery, King James II having been president of the Royal African Company, and its stock and trade was human beings? So tells us about his time at Eton and how he got a hard time from the press. And, you know, the press are entitled to be bitchy. They don't have to be nice. He didn't help himself. He messed things up. But things like when he decided he needed to have all his hair shaved off when he's about 14, and that was in the press, he disliked it. He obviously holds the media responsible for his mother's death, which is, of course, preposterous. Then he goes on about, well, you know, his time in Afghanistan. There's a famous section where he talks about kid of the Taliban, that he's neither satisfied nor dissatisfied that he killed those people. Talks about his drug abuse, lying to, I think, his aquarium about him having taken drugs and things like that. Various girlfriends. There's that notorious episode when he said he lost his virginity when he was mounted by that older woman. She was only 2 years older than him. Maybe that was slightly blurring her identity. The one who supposedly was, she's been identified. This is at Sandringham, one of the royal family's private residences. This one's in Norfolk. His trips to Botswana and other African countries, his involvement with Centre Barley, that charity for children in Lesotho, that's one of the very few monarchies left in Africa, and so forth. There were things when he was hurt, when he wasn't. His father, known as Pa, comes across quite well in it. The fact that Prince Harry is known as Harold within the family, that's a revelation. But this is from a man who wants privacy, who tells you about being frost bitten on his membrum Wirile using some a British Argo Todger, which would have brought a wry smile to the lips of many Americans who probably didn't know this vulgarity that apparently, and if you are frostbitten on your crown jewels, Elizabeth Arden is the dog's bollocks. You know, that is really panacea for it, and so forth. So it's staggering that he could be so asinine as to demand privacy while telling us these most intimate details. And no, he actually doesn't tell us what position he was doing it with Meghan when his children were conceived. But that's about the only thing he doesn't tell us. So therefore, busting the privacy of everybody else and rather frank and unflattering pen portraits of other members of the royal family and things like that, claiming that his brother knocked him over in a tussle about whatever it was, you know, still whinging that his bedroom was a bit smaller than his brother when he was 10 and stuff like that. And it goes on and on. It's decidedly unedifying, saying that he thinks someone was to the right of the Taliban. Well, if he thinks the Taliban's a right-wing organization, he shows us how staggeringly stupid Prince Harry is. The Taliban, They certainly believe in redistribution of wealth. They're certainly against the objectification of women. You should approve of that. Maybe that's quite feminist, isn't it, Harry? What else? So they certainly don't like materialism capitalism or free trade or things like that. They certainly believe in regulation of the government controlling every facet of a person's life, the nanny state, if you will, of preventing people from coming to harm. Yeah, they certainly believe in safe spaces for women. That's quite woke. And so it goes on about that. And Harry, seeing his mission as being exacting vengeance for 9/11, well, that's not a very morally worthy objective, and so on. So he's sort of rather bereft of self reflection and all this. But yeah, it is quite fast moving. It is readable. I'll hand him to that. So in many ways, it was a scintillating insight into the royal family. How much of this is true? I mean, I can't say. I think some of it is verifiable, can be corroborated by other sources. Other things are just unfalsifiable. And much of it, I think, is in that liminal state in between. So, that's it. How he felt about the death of his mother, how it's impacted him, meeting Meghan and stuff like that. And when he was with Meghan and they were in California and she sang to seals and the seals sang back to her, and he realized there's some miraculous revelation. This means that she would soon bear a child. Yeah, quite right, because someone who recently got married in her 30s, it wouldn't be possible that otherwise she'd become pregnant. So they prognosticated her gestation. So this is magical thinking. It shows you just what a dimwit he was. The seals weren't singing to Meghan. They'd make that noise anyway. So what a kook he is. But yeah, as I said before, it's written in Californian, so difficult for me to decipher. But a lot of it is quite noisome in this book. And he's got another claiming he's holding back the really damaging stuff. I don't see how much more harmful it could be. Supposedly, Meghan recently wrote a letter to His Britannic Majesty revealing the name of the royal racialist and stuff like that, who speculated what exactly the tone of Prince Archie's skin would be and so on. What else did he do, Prince Harry? So there's very little contrition here for the things he's done. He ought to be remorseful, especially as a real wokester, about wearing that swastika armband and stuff like that. So, he's expectorating odium at many people. It's everyone's fault except himself. Yeah, he just doesn't take any responsibility. So deeply irresponsible, considering he was an army officer. He doesn't check his own privilege and reflect how fortunate he was to have all these doors open to him, all these golden opportunities afforded to him, despite him being completely unworthy of them, led into Eton, even though he wouldn't. I remember years ago, the press reading, oh, but Eton won't give Harry a sporting chance. He went out to Eton in 98, and the idea was he wouldn't be let in despite being fairly good at sport. He says that he actively wanted to get hurt on the rugger field so that his physical pain would match his emotional pain, but then he talks about shying away from pain, so he's lying, either the first time or the second time, I don't know which, but he contradicts himself on myriad occasions. So it's sometimes unwittingly chortlesome. That is Spare. I can't terribly warmly recommend it to you, but the ghostwriter has obviously done an admirable job of making what would otherwise just be nauseating into something, which is, how to put it, you know, almost macabrely fascinating. So that is it. Thank you so much for watching my channel. So please, subscribe on Patreon, follow me on PayPal. Sorry, donate on PayPal, georgecallahan79@gmail.com. I urgently need donations to keep the channel going. And moreover, if you sign up on PayPal, then you can get access to thousands of articles. Toodaloo.